And Roseburg would like to welcome The Landing, a senior living community, a distinctive place that believes people make all the difference. At The Landing, you'll find apartments and rooms to fit every need, and your rent will never be raised. So contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696.
From the Midas of Roseburg Studio, KQEN weather forecast. Today, sunny and 91 degrees expected. Tonight, partly sunny and 55 for a low. Looking at the extended forecast, tomorrow, sunny and 85. Sunday, sunny and 84. And Monday, a chance of showers in the forecast with a high near 71 expected. 74 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here as we wrap up another week of Inside Douglas County. Thanks for making this program part of your lunchtime and part of your day every day around Douglas County. We're talking with Melanie Prummer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center, and Captain Kurt Sorensen of the Sutherland Police Department. Thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
And let's get started talking about, Kurt, with you. First of all, give folks kind of a sense of your background in law enforcement to begin with.
I guess my background in law enforcement is that I've been a police officer for about 26 years, been with Sutherland for almost 20 years. I'm a captain at the police department, which is an admin position. Don't get out of the office much, but, here with Melanie today. So, it's always fun, but, I was a school resource officer for about 10, 11 years, dealing with, with the education of children and the relationships between schools and families and law enforcement, which to me was a lot of fun. I liked it a lot, and was really able to give back to the community. So we have another resource officer, school resource officer in Sutherland that filled my position, and so I'm mostly stuck in the office anymore.
So you're also a member of the Task Force on Family Violence and the Douglas County Sexual Assault Response Team for Peace at Home. What's caused you to get involved with Peace at Home, and how long have you been involved?
Oh, we've been involved, for 3-4 years, something like that, been going to meetings together. First of all, I've learned a long time ago, there's certain people that you don't tell no. And Melanie is one of those people. When she asks, like today, hey, can you do this or hey, can you do that? Because she works really hard and is pretty outgoing. And so when she asks, hey, can you do this or can you come to this meeting or do that, she's just not the kind of person you tell no to.
So what kinds of things, though, beyond that caused you to get involved? I mean, in your role in a police agency, you've got a lot on your plate already. Why do you think doing the things you're doing with Peace at Home are important?
Yeah, so, being a police officer, when you go to a call of, let's say, a domestic violence situation, a lot of those situations aren't something, our job is to show up. We're kind of the Band-Aid. Our job is to show up and make sure that, first of all, nobody's hurt, that nobody's going to get hurt in the future. Obviously, if there is a situation that we need to make an arrest on, we do that. But most of the situations we go to, we kind of just put a Band-Aid on it, and we're trying to just solve the problem for the night, trying to maybe get somebody to go to another, someplace else to stay for the night, or trying to just get them to, cohabitate for a while together without us getting called back or without the problem getting worse. And it's really hard because, most police officers, the reason why they're police officers, the reason why they got into the job is because they want to help people. And it's hard to go to a call when there's nothing that you can do for them. And no police officer wants to tell somebody, hey, there's really not much I can do for you. And so to be able to have a community resource such as Peace at Home to say, hey, here's this community resource, let's get you hooked up to them, and you know, maybe they can help you out, because, you know, Peace at Home has so many resources for people who need it that we're not walking away from there telling somebody, hey, there's nothing we can do for you. So for me, you know, especially, like I said, being a school resource officer, being involved in the community, I want to help the people in our community. And so to hook those people up with a huge community resource that has, you know, a large amount of resources available to them, to hook them up, you know, with that resource is big.
So, Melanie, talk about how Peace at Home and the law enforcement community work together.
Yeah, so what had happened, since 2002, the Douglas County Sexual Assault Response Team has been working together, and that's a coordinated response with law enforcement, also our local hospital, DA's office, and the community college and Cow Creek Tribe. And so we've had this partnership where together we develop protocols to respond in a trauma-informed way to sexual assault victims or survivors, and continue to walk them through the process of whether that's a forensic exam and all the way through connecting them to follow-up services with Peace at Home for the long term. And so from there, in 2017, many community partners who were on the sexual assault task force were very passionate about putting together a task force on family violence. And that passion really stemmed from a place where not only do we want peace in our community, we also wanted to prevent homicide in our community and mass shootings. And as many of us know, over 50% of mass shootings are linked to domestic violence or family violence.
Wow.
And so that was our real passion and drive to come together to put that task force together. And all of our local law enforcement agencies are part of a subcommittee called the Lethality Assessment Program Subcommittee. And there we're working on developing new practices and protocols to understand the danger level or lethality of somebody's situation, and help further prevent violence through hopefully an earlier intervention and connecting them to an advocate sooner.
Wow. So for both Peace at Home and for the law enforcement community, this has got to be a very trying time given everything that's going on, the restrictions, the loss of job. It seems like people, you know, folks who had everything perfectly in their life now have a lot of problems. People who had a lot of problems in their lives are now sort of hitting the tilt mechanism sometimes and not doing so well. How are both of your agencies impacted by the situation?
So I ran the numbers actually this week. So comparing to April of 2019 to April of 2020, our domestic violence reports doubled. And so, you know, just like with people being shut in, you know, in their homes, being told to stay in their homes. And then I also looked at, to be honest with you, looked at alcohol sales. And you look at all of their, you know, there's dozens of news reports about how OLCC has reported that their alcohol sales has skyrocketed because of COVID. And so you add a couple of those things together and you're going to get some more disturbances at home.
Melanie, how about your organization? Have you been impacted by COVID-19?
Yeah, so we have several different teams, and where we have seen a high utilization in services is with our legal team. And so our legal team assists people on a daily basis with filing protective orders. And we are serving between 3 and 8 people a day with protective orders. We receive about 30 referrals a month from law enforcement, but that's been very consistent for the last 2 years. And so while that hasn't changed, I think that that people are accessing legal services. And I feel that there might be people who it's not safe to reach out to us through our crisis line, or maybe people don't realize that we have been operating this whole time. We provide everything from sheltering people who may need emergency shelter all the way to doing safety planning and other emergency services and peer counseling. Our crisis line is always available 24/7. But we have advocates that are able to meet people at our office location as well. And so while I think the calls have been a little lower for us in the last 6 weeks, I think that might just be because people do not realize that we're available and law enforcement are happening to see more of those individuals than us, and they may not be reaching out.
So, Melanie, what about the practical end of, for instance, your office facility and things like that? What's changed there?
So while our doors are closed, we are open. So people can call our crisis line. And then if there is if there's a need to meet with someone in person, we can set up those appointments very, very quickly. Of course, we see people of all hours of the day, 24/7 also. And we have been seeing people at the courthouse. Our advocates are at the Douglas County Courthouse in the cafeteria Monday through Friday at 7:30 in the morning. And they're providing information and referrals, as well as helping people with safety planning. And like I'd mentioned, assisting people filing for protective orders.
Now, people that are meeting there with your folks at the courthouse, are those planned situations, or can people who need some help just show up at that point?
Yeah, I would say most of the people are just showing up. So often an incident happened the day before, the night before, and law enforcement typically would give them that information and they would show up. Some people call us and need a little more time to process whether that's the best option for them to pursue a protective order. And so we give people some information so they can make an informed decision about whether that's the best option for them. And some people need a little bit more time to think about completing the actual packet to file. It's cumbersome and requires some information. And so some people set up appointments with an advocate to walk through that process.
And Kurt, for the Sutherland Police Department, what's different in the way that you operate, or folks being able to access your office, et cetera?
Our office is also closed. You can't just walk in our doors. And I'm going to preface this by saying that a police officer's job is to talk to people, and a police officer's job is to make contacts with people. And, you know, our contacts are really limited right now. We're trying not to just willy-nilly go out and contact people for no reason. You know, I shouldn't say for no reason, but, you know, the minor traffic stops have really are a lot less. With our door being closed, people aren't really walking in the office door anymore. Our office staff, you know, they're only working a couple days a week. We're trying to keep the numbers of people in our office down so that we don't have, you know, everybody in there at the same time. We're trying to limit going inside people's houses, but we do, you know, everybody has been issued masks and, other PPEs and gloves and things like that. But, what we're really trying to limit is somebody being exposed and then bringing it into the office. And, you know, the next thing, you know, all of our employees are quarantined for 2 weeks. And, but we are operating. All of our shifts are open. All of our shifts are available. But we're just trying to limit those contacts, which is unfortunate because that's what police officers do. We should be out in the community making contacts. But, you know, due to COVID, we're just limiting those.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Melanie Premer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Captain Kurt Sorensen of the Sutherland Police Department. Back in about 90 seconds, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1249 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1251. Lars Larson coming at 1. Eye on Travel for KQEN Local Talk at 4 this afternoon in place of Umpqua Valley Live. Melanie Frummer from Peace at Home Advocacy Center and Captain Kurt Sorensen of the Sutherland Police Department. Melody, I want to turn your way next and ask about the types of incidents that you've been dealing with now. Are there certain situations that your advocates, your staff are running into that people are being impacted by when it comes to domestic violence?
Yeah, so that's a really great question, Kyle. A couple of weeks ago, something that our advocates had noticed, especially in a one-week period of time, we had worked with, several people a day. And every single day during that week, we had been working with somebody who had just experienced strangulation. And strangulation is one of the most lethal forms of domestic violence, of course, because it can cause, unconsciousness, which can occur within seconds, and then, of course, death, which can occur within minutes. And so we don't usually see that many cases in a week, and very concerning because what can happen is fluid can overload in the lungs for up to 2 weeks, even after the assault. And then even weeks and months after the assault or the strangulation, the person can experience things like sleep problems, like impairment of their memory or concentration. And then, of course, other things develop like anxiety, depression, dementia. And so the effects are very, very serious.
Wow. Now, for someone who has gone through that and doesn't get help or has the abuser still in their life or in the same home with them at least part of the time, and I'm sure there's a tension about wondering if it's going to happen again, for instance.
Yeah, and what we know and what research has suggested to us for decades is that things usually do not improve, that most often things escalate and get worse, which is one of the reasons why we are working so closely with law enforcement so that we can help give people information sooner and maybe when they're ready or they want to take some time planning with an advocate, that they can do that to be able to develop some safety planning to be able to leave. Because when you have serious crimes like these, there are often cases in the last 2 years we've seen an increase in stalking, where even if someone leaves their relationship, it escalates to things like stalking and then there needs to be continuing safety planning and ongoing for that person experiencing those things.
Kurt, what are you seeing at Sutherland Police in this area? Are there certain crimes of violence that have gone up more than others?
I'd have to look at the numbers to answer that question. Off the top of my head, I can't answer. I can just, I did look at the numbers just to say that our domestic violence calls did double just in the month of April. But
wow, that is.
I can't say. I'll add to Melanie's statement, which regarding strangulation and the lethality of the possible lethality of domestic violence cases. This is the reason why we're working to get the to have a process of the lethality assessment program put into place. Because so when we respond to a domestic violence case, we always take a report, but what we're going to add is a form that's going to be filled out with some check boxes, which will then get turned into the DA's office and Peace at Home, and somebody's going to look at that form and say, okay, this situation is getting worse, or the lethality of this situation in the future could really be bad. And, strangulation is at the top of that. If you're in a domestic situation, domestic violence situation, it's gotten to the point where strangulation is occurring, the lethality in that situation is fairly high. And so the lethality assessment program that we're going to be putting into place is you know, it's pretty important. And quite honestly, it you know, probably could have been done. We're a little bit late probably at getting it done. And so it's a pretty needed thing. So I rambled on there, but.
Melanie, what about people that don't see a pathway out of different abuse situations? What can your staff do to help people make plans?
Well, some of it is listening and helping process with somebody what the barriers may be or their or concerns. And people experience very different concerns about leaving. And often there's usually more than one reason. Many people financially cannot necessarily leave a situation. Of course, homelessness, one of the leading causes of homelessness is domestic violence. And so trying to address those things with people and looking at what options are available. And sometimes that feels difficult when we have you know, a housing crisis and being able to find housing on your own. So working with an advocate can help process, look at options, and then we're here for as long as somebody needs us. So someone may utilize our services once, and some people may stay with us for several months as they continue to work through some of those challenges.
Melanie Prummer, Executive Director of Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Captain Kurt Sorensen of the Sutherland Police, thanks to both of you for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
1258, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.